Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota, the top Republican on the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee. But first, here's this week's headlines. Landowners are set to receive more than $1.7 billion in Conservation Reserve Program payments. 3.9 million acres of land were enrolled in the program in recent signups, and most of those acres were enrolled in grasslands CRP. In total, 23 million acres are now enrolled in the program, which is still short of the 27 million acre cap established in the 2018 Farm Bill. The Senate Environment and Public Works Committee heard differing opinions from legal experts on the impact of the Supreme Court's Sackett decision on the nation's wetlands and streams. Legal experts at a Wednesday hearing offered different opinions about the scope of the Clean Water Act under the ruling. Environmental groups estimate more than half the country's wetlands are at risk because of the ruling. Committee Republicans, however, argued the more limited scope of federal jurisdiction under the Sackett decision simply shifts oversight to the states rather than leaving the areas without environmental protection. And finally, Republicans sorted through more leadership upheaval in their path to find the next Speaker of the House. The stalemate has left the chamber unable to hold votes on legislation in recent weeks, including appropriations bills to fund various parts of the government. But as House GOP leaders are quick to point out, the Senate hasn't moved any appropriations bills lately either. In fact, the chamber has yet to pass any of the measures that advanced out of committee after a procedural stumbling block in September. For appropriators like John Hoeven of North Dakota, the lack of progress on government funding is frustrating. We started our conversation by asking him, what's the holdup?
Well, first off, our full appropriation committee has passed all 12 appropriation bills this year, all 12. And that's the first time we've had all 12 through there in about 20 years. And some of them were unanimous, like our ag appropriations bill. Some had the most votes we lost on any of them were four. So we've got all 20 appropriations bills teed up and ready to go. But of course, we need House vehicles in order to move them. And so we took we got the House Milcon VA bill. We are using that not only for Milcon VA, but also ag appropriations and transportation, housing, and urban development. And we're, I think, ready to go. I thought we would actually be on those three bills this week. I think we will be on those appropriations bills next week. And I'm hopeful that we can move them over the course of the week. And then we'd be ready for another set of three bills. We're working on which those would be. But that means over the next several weeks, I could see us moving six of the 12 appropriations bills. So, we're going to work really hard to do that and try to keep this process moving.
Mm-hmm. So one of the provisions where there is a bit of a difference between the House and the Senate is on the subject of Commodity Credit Corporation spending authority for the Department of Agriculture. Language in the House bill to restrict CCC authority, such a provision not included in the Senate bill. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, actually, I worked with Sonny Perdue to remove that so that when the Chinese went after us on agriculture, we were able to pass the market facilitation program. And that was funded with the CCC. And we were able to do that because we enabled Sonny to, Secretary Perdue, to put that program together. I was chair of Ag Approach at the time, and that's why we removed that so that we could respond like that when we need to. And I will submit to you that MFP was very important to our farmers and ranchers. You remember how the Chinese targeted our guys, at soybeans being a great example. And then later we came back during coronavirus and used it for the CFAP program too, the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, which again, for our producers across the country, kept them in the game when they were facing bad markets, they were facing poor prices, bad weather, and obviously some of this embargo stuff. So again, I mean, everybody wants it in place when they got their guy in the White House and not when they don't. But yeah, as you know, I worked very hard on some of these ad hoc disaster programs that we've needed badly. And so I want to make sure we have flexibility to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the areas where that flexibility is apparently looking to be used is on the CCC spending for trade promotion. And that was something that was, done at the request, we hear at the request of the Senate Ag Committee Senate Ag Committee leadership. What are your thoughts on that $2.5 billion program that the USDA is looking to roll out, split between trade promotion, food assistance? Your thoughts on that particular use of the CCC?
Obviously, you know, again, that's why I go back to, you know, we want that flexibility when our party has the administration and not so much when the other guys have it. And so, but you got to understand how, that's how life works. So my answer is when it's on trade, I'm all for it. Those are the things I really want. When it's what's keeping our producers in the game, that's what I want. Now, some of the, you know, the programs that when you have a Democrat administration, they put out there, you know, obviously that wouldn't be my first choice. But again, at the end of the day, I work to get things done. And that doesn't mean I always get it just the way I want it.
We'll talk Farm Bill with Senator Hoeven right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the Commodity Credit Corporation could be a way to address a tight budget environment for the Farm Bill on Capitol Hill. But Senator John Hoeven says the legislation still needs adequate resources.
The things that must be done for us to advance on a Farm Bill. And it's not just me, you know, Senator Bozeman, all the Republicans on the Ag Committee. One, we have got to find a way to strengthen crop insurance. That means make it more affordable to buy up to a higher percentage of coverage and make sure that SCO and ECO can actually work on an area-wide. We can talk about that, what I mean by that, in a little more detail, and we should. But Title 11 and then Title 1, increasing, updating those reference prices for ARC and PLC. Those things have to happen, and we have to have the baseline to do it. And that's one of the fundamental things we're working on right now with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle is how do we get enough baseline to do those things that I just laid out. Mm-hmm.
From that standpoint, do Republicans have a way to, one, increase reference prices and, two, pay for it?
Yeah, if we look, we've got a $1.5 trillion baseline, okay? But when you look at the fact that, for example, the nutrition piece has gone, it's more than 1.2 trillion. Their baseline's gone from 600 to over 1.2 trillion. When you look at conservation, there's another 30 billion there that's coming in baseline. Yeah, the baseline there overall, there's plenty of room to do this, but folks are gonna have to share, right? It's gotta work for everybody. There's gotta be more farm in the Farm Bill.
Mm-hmm. Another very kind of in the weeds provision within the Farm Bill debate is that would be especially important to producers in your state, the idea of a base acre update. That's something that's been proposed, supported by some commodity groups, not necessarily all of them. What would that mean for your producers? And do you think that's something that ultimately can happen in this next Farm Bill?
You know, that's a challenge, but the only way you're actually going to do it is to, again, add dollars in there so you don't have folks going backward, because you know how that goes. And if you don't do it that way, you lose as much support as you gain. And so that comes back to a resource issue. And what I'll submit to you is if we can get the two things done that I just described, increasing the support for crop insurance and improving the reference prices, I think that's going to be the higher priority. If there are some dollars to update base acreage, you know, yeah, hopefully we can look at that.
You know, you talked quite a bit during this conversation about a desire to increase the producer safety net, reference prices, crop insurance, what have you. A lot of folks have looked at the Inflation Reduction Act funding as a potential way to do that. But right now we see Chairwoman Stabenow and the other committee Democrats pretty dug in on keeping that money within the conservation title, within the Climate Smart programs where it is currently, directed. What's the off-ramp here? How do you all sit down and both leave the table feeling like you can walk away with a win on this?
Yeah, and that's where you got to go back and look at how much of the baseline is being absorbed now by nutrition programs and by conservation programs. And you just identified what I think is an opportunity. That's where I think if again, our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, if they're willing to give up some, you've got $30 billion coming into the baseline from the IRA as conservation funding. That money will not all get used in those conservation programs because we will not allow those programs to be mandatory. They must be voluntary. And so that money is going to sit over there and not used. Why not utilize some of that baseline to do just what I described? And there's still going to be plenty of money for conservation programs that will actually get used. This is a good example of giving a little to get a lot.
Mm-hmm. I want to wrap up with one last question on the issue of foreign farmland ownership. We did see some news this week out of the South, Syngenta needing to sell off some land down there as a result of a state law. This has been an issue that's been front and center in your home state as well. Is the Farm Bill going to be able to address this issue?
States like mine have already passed legislation on this. And as you know, I'm sponsoring a number of bills at the federal level to put restrictions on it as well. It has to be not only for farmland, but food supply. You know, that is a national security issue, and it's a very important issue, and we will continue to pursue it.
Senator Hovind, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Hannah Pagel walks us through the global fertilizer market in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Phosphate is one of several key fertilizers for American producers, and looming government decisions could impact how much of it is available in the U.S. The Commerce Department and the International Trade Commission have anywhere from 2 to 3 months to incorporate a pair of recent rulings that could end up lowering the tariffs on imported Russian and Moroccan phosphate. This chart shows the top phosphate exporting countries in 2022. You can see Morocco led the way with more than 6.3 million metric tons, followed by China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. The U.S. ranks fifth. China's 2022 figure is about half what it exported in 2021. StoneX fertilizer expert Josh Linville tells us the decline is due to government restrictions to meet domestic demand. Bill Thompson has a more in-depth look at how the upcoming rulings will impact the American fertilizer market on our website, agripulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales, you're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you, that's who, as your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
At Clean Fuels Alliance America, we're working toward a future of clean energy now that will make our members proud. We serve as the clean fuels industry's primary organization for technical, environmental, and quality assurance programs, and are the strongest voice for its advocacy, communications, and market development. With industry-leading programs and incentives, Clean Fuels Alliance America is actively moving the clean fuels industry forward toward a brighter future.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Going to have a panel discussion now to discern just what is going on Capitol Hill and what that's ultimately going to mean for American agriculture. Joined for that conversation by Tyson Redpath with the Russell Group and Katie Nasons with the Tory Advisory Group. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Tyson, I want to go to you first because obviously a lot of balls bouncing around up in the air right now on Capitol Hill, and looking just specifically at agriculture, still some unanswered questions in regards to what comes next for the Farm Bill and the government spending that still has yet to be determined, currently shutdown proof through mid-November, but after that, it's kind of anyone's guess. So I will ask you, what do you think is at stake for agriculture, for rural America, as Congress looks to discern its path toward figuring out a government spending solution?
Well, what's at stake is making sure that we have farm program safety nets in place for next year. And what's at stake as well is making sure we get the next farm bill right. I think sometimes deadlines and speed can be the enemy of good policy. First, getting through an election of the Speaker of the House, turning attention toward the end of year and the end of a continuing resolution for appropriations to make sure the government stays open, certainly are higher priorities at this point. But making sure we get farm bill policy right, making sure the government stays open, I think are paramount at this point.
Let's talk about that intersection between government funding and the farm bill. As Congress looks to determine how it plans to approach that issue, big differences between the House and Senate ag spending bills at this point. What is that ultimately going to mean, you think, for the next farm bill?
I'm not sure how this plays out in the end, because you don't really have a House bill to conference because the House rejected it. The House voted down ag approps, again, not once, but twice. So as we approach year's end, first things first, have to pass a continuing resolution, another CR effective November 17th. And then, you know, you have a month and a half left before year's end to figure that all out.
Well, and Katie, bringing you into the fold here, and perhaps if I can ask you to stare into that famous Tory advisory group crystal ball for a moment here, looking at some of the gulf between the House and the Senate on what their spending levels are in the appropriations bill. Before we talk about the farm bill, how do they go about resolving those differences between where the House is and where the Senate is, not only on spending, but on some important policy riders in those two bills as well? How do Hill negotiators kind of sort through those differences?
Yeah, well, I think it's absolutely going to be a lot harder this time around, especially because you have a Republican-controlled House and a Democrat-controlled Senate. But, you know, I think as Tyson mentioned, you know, first and foremost, we're going to need to get back to revisiting the failed agriculture appropriations bill on the House floor. Whether or not they can bring something else back up, whatever ends up getting passed, it's going to have to eliminate those poison pill amendments. It's going to have to eliminate the steep cuts that were in the amended bill that failed on the floor. I think everything really just depends on what happens with the speaker and the new leadership that comes into play. You know, right now, we don't know if there's going to be a limit on amendments. We don't know what kind of votes could potentially come up. We also don't know if they will be able to bring an appropriations bill to the floor. I think if the House is able to come to some kind of an agreement, I'm pretty confident that they will be able to come to some negotiation with the Senate. I think having that bipartisanship in the Senate really helps with those negotiations, because it will give those moderate Republicans in a House something to vote for.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. Katie Nasens with the Tory Advisory Group says no matter how Congress decides to approach the lingering issue of Inflation Reduction Act climate smart funding, farmers should stand to benefit.
Every single farm bill has its own personality. There are always hot topics for debate. And this time around, it happens to be the IRA dollars. Just like every farm bill, everybody has to come to the table with their own priorities, and they have to be willing to make compromises. you know, at this point in time, we really don't know what the compromise is going to look like. I think it's pretty clear that both Senator Stabenow and Senator Bozeman are committed to a farm bill that helps farmers and families. But, you know, I'm confident that they're going to find a path forward. I think, you know, the bigger question mark is going to be how long is it actually going to take to get it done?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the timeline there and maybe intersect that conversation with the fact that after serving on her staff, you probably know Chairwoman Stabenow better than anyone else on this panel. She has announced her impending retirement. And of course, with every day that passes, we get closer and closer to the end of the current Congress and to that retirement. I wonder, what role do you think her plans to step aside and let someone else be the senator from Michigan, what role do you think that is going to play in her desire to pass a farm bill here in this current Congress?
Well, I think having worked for my former boss, she is in it until the very end. And I think she is going to work incredibly hard to get something done. You know, she has been supportive and a champion, not only for Michigan farmers and families, but for farmers and families all across the country. And I don't think that her retirement is going to change anything when it comes to getting something done before she leaves. I would just say that if anything, it will make things more fun and more interesting for her as she finalizes everything before she leaves.
Mm-hmm. And Tyson, I want to wrap up the conversation with you as we look here. End of the year is really kind of the drop dead date on new farm bill action. And having seen no text from the House or Senate at this point, still hearing many farm groups say they would like a farm bill passed, a new farm bill passed yet this year. I wonder, at a certain point in time, do some of those same groups look at the calendar, look at the amount of time that's left, and instead shift their request publicly toward an extension as opposed to new legislation?
Look, I don't think anybody could have predicted what has transpired in the House of Representatives. But the reality is we're in it right now. There is no clear pathway to a full-time speaker. So we have to turn our attention to some type of extension or postponement of permanent law, right? That's key. If nothing is done and the calendar flips to January 1st, there are some deleterious effects that start to take hold. Attention here in pretty short order needs to turn to either, you know, turning off permanent law or passing an extension.
Very good. Well, we will keep a close eye on which of those directions folks are leaning as this conversation continues to unfold. But for now, Tyson, Katie, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pagel introduces us to one of the newest House Ag Democrats in this week's Meet the Lawmaker.
Growing up in the borderlands between Mexico and the United States, Congressman Gabe Vasquez has seen firsthand how the cross-border connection supports families and businesses. Representative Vasquez now sits on the House Agriculture Committee. Representing New Mexico's 2nd District, he says it's a place many Americans do not realize has strong agricultural ties.
Dryland farmers, primarily the Chihuahuan Desert, is in my district, but we also have the beautiful Rio Grande that flows down and provides both the surface water and the opportunities for agricultural producers to make a living. Cotton, pecans, we've got so much to go for us. Dairies as well. So it's an interesting place, but not a lot of people associate Southern New Mexico with being one of the largest producers of food for our country, but that's who we are.
In his Meet the Lawmaker interview, Congressman Vasquez discusses more about the nation's farm labor needs and the changes that need to be made to support the agriculture economy. Head to AgriPulse.com to watch his full interview. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales, you're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. The House and Senate are both scheduled to be in session. USDA's next Equity Commission meeting runs Tuesday through Thursday. The department will also release its quarterly rice stocks report Wednesday. We'll have all the latest on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.